Hi guys, it's Tess here. Welcome to another bonus episode of the Etsy Success Podcast. Today we're giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the ways our team is working to bring more buyers to Etsy. We'll start by giving some background on the strategy and results of our sales events. So that's Labor Day, Cyber Monday, and more recently our World of Etsy sales event. And then we'll get into our paid marketing efforts that help spread the word about Etsy and our incredibly unique marketplace. So first up is Christy Routenauer and Lish Kennedy here to chat about our sales events. Christy is a senior data scientist and Lish is Etsy's senior director of brand marketing. So welcome to the Etsy Success Podcast, guys. Tell me about your roles here at Etsy.
Sure. Hi, it's Christy. I'm a data scientist on a team that is responsible for taking all of the data that we collect and analyzing how our buyers and sellers interface with Etsy and trying to figure out ways to optimize it for both groups of users.
Hi, I'm Lish. I lead buyer-facing brand marketing, and I work very closely with Christy, and I take as much as I can from her learnings and implement it in terms of what we do.
Awesome. So first, let's talk about the goals for Etsy sales events. Are they different depending on each event?
At the highest level, each of our sales has had the same goals, really. We're trying to spread the word about Etsy and get as much traffic to the site as we can and really inspire new and existing shoppers to make purchases. We know that making a purchase is a leading indicator of loyalty, and we're really trying to inspire loyalty as much as we can.
So in addition to what Chrissy just mentioned, we also aim to showcase a cross-category range of all the specialness and uniqueness on Etsy. So visitors who might only know us for one category, for example, are exposed through landing on the sales event to Etsy's full offering and can therefore discover things that they didn't know were available or that they might have wanted.
What about the strategy behind the sales events? What factors shape your team's approach?
We're constantly taking learnings from each event and using them to shape events going forward. For instance, we saw lifts in some of the metrics that we've tracked during sales for a specific subset of days, but not the entire event. We're testing out running shorter events going forward so that we can inspire urgency and freshness with each different sales event happening in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a really good insight that sellers could try applying to their own shops. They could think about, you know, running a shorter sale for only a few days and seeing how their customers engage with it.
Yeah, exactly.
We also want for Etsy's sales events to be different from all other brand sales. So we try and find a really unique positioning that showcases why Etsy and all of our awesome sellers' items are so special. The World of Etsy sales event is a great example of this. It used a construct of shopping different worlds, like Pet Paradise or Traveler's Trail, to showcase all the imaginative, unique, and special items on Etsy.
And then how do you go about promoting the sale to buyers?
We approach promoting the sale in an integrated way. We run dedicated marketing campaigns. So we promote it on all of our social channels and on paid, including things like SEO and paid social. We also promote the sale from inside the site, if that makes sense, to drive traffic to the sale from pages that might not talk about it or surface it. Mm. So if a shopper has come to Etsy and lands on a page that doesn't showcase this sale event, they'll now see a module or an ingress that says something like recently viewed, now on sale, or check out our sale at the bottom of key search pages. So we're really excited to increase promoting the sale both off-site and on-site.
Can you tell me about some interesting insights or findings from the sales events so far?
Yeah, one of the more interesting findings that we have from all of our three sales events so far is that we've seen a big increase in traffic to shops for sellers who participated in the sale. So sellers who had at least a listing or a couple of listings on sale during the event saw a big increase in traffic. There was also an increase in traffic for sellers who didn't participate, so a little halo effect, but it was much smaller. So there's definitely a benefit to participating.
We also see favoriting activity. This is when visitors heart an item that they like or love, but don't necessarily buy in that moment. Mm-hmm. And when something is favorited, it gives us an opportunity to retarget that shopper with a message that helps share updates on that item that they favorited. So if that particular item is in another person's cart, or if there's only one left, we can share a notification to help empower that shopper with information that might help inform if they want to take an action on that item, either now or later.
So what can you tell me about how buyers are finding the sale items?
We've seen in all of our events that shoppers on site don't really deviate from their traditional browsing behaviors. So they used search and shop home as their primary pages for discovering sale items that they wanted to buy. And those are the traditional pages that they find items on outside of a sale as well. So with those findings in mind, we are optimizing the on-site experience to make the sale a little louder in places where we know shoppers currently are on site, so that we can get the word about the sale out more broadly to all visitors. One other interesting thing is that we're seeing that shoppers, when they're searching, they search for a very specific item very frequently. So they're not looking for broad queries and looking for sale items within that. They're really searching for something specific. And when they find the item they want, if it's on sale, it's an extra bonus.
Yeah, and you should always be thinking about keywords in your shop, but this is a really good reminder for sellers to think about going back in and reviewing your keywords before a sale, really making sure that your keywords are optimized for Etsy search and are just as accurate to what the item is as possible. And if you need help with that, I'm going to link to a seller handbook article about brainstorming keywords for your shop and description for this episode. So I'm also wondering, what types of buyers tend to shop during sales events?
So far, we can't really say that there's a pattern of buyers who take advantage of sales. It's really varied for each of the three that we've run in the past. And very often, the type of buyer who buys during a sale is a type of buyer who's buying before or right after. What we saw during Labor Day and Cyber was that we had a lot more new buyers shopping around that time, and that was really mirroring what we saw on Etsy. During our off-season sale, we saw a lot of existing buyers coming back and buying items on sale, and that was again what was happening on site around that time. We're going to keep monitoring trends in the types of buyers who participate in these events so that we can make sure we cater to each of those groups when it's appropriate.
Yeah, and it's really cool to hear that there are so many new buyers coming to the site. So I think that, like you were saying, for, you know, Cyber Monday sales, when you know that there's going to be a lot of new shoppers on the site, to really make sure that you have built buyer trust for those people who have never bought on Etsy or from you before. One way to do this is to make sure that your shop policies are filled out and your about section, because this really is ensuring that they have all the information they need before purchasing, and it shows them that there's a real person behind the shop. And we actually have a really great seller handbook article with tips on writing your about section. And we also have a help article on setting up your shop policies. So I'm going to link to both of those in the description for this episode. I was also wondering what you'd found about what types of items tend to sell well during the sales events.
So like our buying patterns that we just talked about, we've seen that sales don't really materially change the way our buyers are shopping, and that encompasses the items that they're shopping for. So categories that are popular before the sale are popular during the sale. And specific subsets of items, like holiday-relevant items or seasonally-relevant items that are popular before the event, are popular during the event. With all those things in mind, we're working on highlighting items that are relevant for each specific shopper that are also on sale at the time. So this is an exciting way for us to make the sale feel more personalized for each visitor and make sure that we're showing each visitor items that are relevant for them at this time.
Yeah, and what you said about seasonality makes a lot of sense. I think that for sellers who are participating in a sales event, then they could really think about promoting seasonally relevant items. So making sure to also promote them on social media, using the social media tool, or adding it to their featured items panel at the top of their shop page could be really helpful. So I know that we've seen some really exciting PR coverage for our sales events. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, our PR team does a really awesome strategic outreach for each campaign or event we run, including all of our sales events, and we've seen great coverage. So far, to name but a few, we've been featured in publications ranging from the Associated Press that gets syndicated globally, Elle Decor, Good Morning America, The Today Show, Real Simple, Refinery29, and more category-specific pubs like Brides, The Knot, Apartment Therapy. The list is pretty extensive.
And so how has your team's strategy evolved? What are your plans for future sales events?
A couple of the key changes we're making are things that we've talked about a little bit already. Mm-hmm. One of the bigger ones is running shorter sales events after we noticed that many metrics were impacted for only a couple of the days where we ran the event. Mm. We also noticed, as we mentioned before, that shoppers navigate Etsy similarly during a sales event and outside of that time. So we're really using what we know about how shoppers interface with the site to make the sales event more discoverable where shoppers already are.
Echoing what Chrissy just mentioned, we're also exploring the balance of how much creative idea we need in a sales event, both for the event marketing campaign and also the landing experience. We want to drive saliency, so there's a hook or a reason to remember it and check it out. But we also want it to be really simple and intuitive in terms of how to navigate it so that it's very easy for shoppers to find what they're looking for and to be able to buy it.
What about other interesting insights that I might not have thought to ask about?
Yeah, one in particular comes to mind for me, and it's that we have some research that suggests that buyers are confused by sales with conditions. So by sale with conditions, I mean something like 20% off if you spend $100. Mm-hmm. They're much more intrigued by simpler sales, so 20% off without any asterisk or any condition.
Yeah, and that's a great opportunity for sellers when they're creating their own sales in their shops to make sure that it's really straightforward, like just a certain percentage off, like 20% off or something like that.
Exactly.
And talking about percent off, we've done a lot of research on discount levels, and we found that very high discount messages, like 70% off, for example, can often trigger trust issues that might impact conversion.
This has all been super fascinating to hear about. Thank you guys for being here today, Alicia and Chrissy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So for our next segment, we're talking about our team's paid advertising efforts. I'm here with Christine Kim, our global paid search manager, and Corinne Julius, Etsy's senior digital marketing specialist. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Tell me about what you guys do here at Etsy.
Yeah, I'm Christine, and I manage the paid search program across the US, UK, Canadian, Australian, French, and German markets at Etsy.
And I'm Corinne. I'm a member of our affiliate team. And while we have global presence with programs in the UK, Canada, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, and the Netherlands, I specifically look after our US, Australia, and rest of world affiliate programs, which is comprised of publishers outside of those core markets.
Cool. So let's start with Christine. I want to know about what paid search is and really what goes into landing paid marketing for a company like Etsy.
So at Etsy, paid search is made up of SEM, also known as search engine marketing, PLA, product listing ads or shopping ads, and display. SEM encompasses all paid text ads that show on the search results page of a search engine. And then PLA, they're the paid image ads that show at the top of a search result page. Mm-hmm. And finally, display is made up of text and image ads that show on sites that are part of Google's search partner network. Theoretically, paid search actually is pretty simple. We pay to compete with other retailers in an auction to show our ads to users who are actively searching for the keywords we're targeting. Mm-hmm. So an example would be if Corinne searches for custom tulle skirts on Google, that is a keyword that we are targeting. So as long as our bid or the maximum amount we're willing to pay for that auction is high enough to beat out other retailers, our ad will show and Corinne will hopefully click on the Etsy ad and then be taken to the site.
Cool. So I know your team also does something called remarketing. What exactly is that?
Remarketing is a tactic where Etsy reaches back out to an audience of users who have given us permission to do so with ads in an effort to re-engage them and bring them back to the Etsy site to make a purchase or discover more products. So to continue with the previous example of Corinne. So once she searches for tulle skirts, gets an Etsy ad, and clicks on the Etsy ad, she is taken to the site. And on the site, if, let's say, Corinne does find the perfect tulle skirt, and she adds it to her cart and adds in some earrings too, but then she gets distracted by her hungry puppy and forgets to make that purchase. At that point, we will then remarket to Corinne with paid ads to remind her of the pending items in her cart and try to get her to come back to Etsy to purchase those items and hopefully discover more products to fall in love with.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to forgetting about something really awesome that you put in your cart.
All the time.
Yeah, that's what we have you guys for. So what types of shoppers do you typically target through paid search?
Yeah, anybody who uses a search engine to search for a product available on Etsy is our target audience. But in some of our campaigns, we either remove or put less effort behind targeting our seller audiences. And that's just because research has shown us that Etsy is already top of mind for sellers and that they will return to Etsy organically. So the budget that would have been put towards getting sellers back to the site is allocated towards helping get Etsy top of mind for buyers and potential buyers who are less aware of Etsy.
So Etsy currently plans to increase our direct marketing spend by around 40% this year, which is really exciting. So what does that look like for your channel?
So within the SEM program, we're focusing on two main initiatives. The first is we're scaling our keyword coverage in international markets so that we can increase awareness of Etsy and be able to reach more people and turn them into Etsy buyers. And second, we are investing more budget and effort behind remarketing so that we can encourage buyers who know Etsy to engage with us again and continue to explore, discover, and purchase. Mm-hmm. And then within our PLA program, we are increasing investment in areas that yield strong return on investment. And we are also testing new ad units to reach buyers higher up in the purchase funnel and get Etsy top of mind earlier in the path to purchase.
Now, Corinne, you work with affiliates to promote Etsy to buyers. So let's start by defining what an affiliate is and what their relationship is with a company like Etsy.
Yeah, so an affiliate is a website or an influencer that promotes or markets an advertiser's products in exchange for commission. Mm. So in the case of Etsy, we partner with these publishers to have them promote everything from Etsy.com to specific categories on our site, any promotions that we might have going on, such as sales events, as well as individual products and shops. Affiliate marketing is actually a type of performance-based marketing. Mm-hmm. So payouts are made on a CPA basis, or what we call a cost per action basis. And that just means that these affiliates will only earn a commission from Etsy if a transaction is actually referred from their site.
Now that we know what an affiliate is, can you give me some examples of ones that we work with?
Yeah, so there's actually a range of categories that affiliates can fall under. The main categories would be loyalty and cashback, coupon, or content, which are those bloggers and influencers. Mm-hmm. So our program is actually primarily comprised of content publishers, and that's true across the board globally. So while we do work with a handful of loyalty publishers, such as Ebates or Giving Assistant, we actually really look to partner with bloggers who can share their personalized experiences around Etsy. Mm-hmm. So think Cup of Joe, Apartment Therapy, or Atlantic Pacific.
Yeah, I love Apartment Therapy. I love looking at the house tours and seeing how many things in people's homes came from Etsy. So how do you go about establishing these partnerships? What's the approach there?
So sometimes we will actually reach out and recruit new publishers to the program. We mainly do that when we feel that their sites are on brand and that they can help in telling that Etsy story. The majority of our partners, however, will actually apply to join our existing program via our affiliate network, AWIN. So once an affiliate has applied, they do undergo a strict approval process where we review their site, taking a number of different factors into account. So we basically are looking at how long the site has been live for, how much content do they have on their site, how frequently are they posting, whether it's weekly, monthly, or daily even, mm-hmm. and then the diversification of their content. So at the end of the day, we're really looking to partner with publishers whose sites all sellers would feel comfortable being promoted on.
That makes sense. And what factors shape your strategy when it comes to a partnership?
Our main goal really is to drive sales for our sellers. So we're constantly pulling reports and evaluating publisher performance, but we really are looking to invest with publishers where we can get the most return on our investment.
And I know that there are some really interesting targeting capabilities with these partnerships. Can you tell me about those?
Yeah, so loyalty publishers in particular tend to have the best targeting capabilities, and that's mainly because they just have a wealth of insight into the profile of their shoppers. So this is actually great for us because we can then leverage that information to strategically target these buyers, whether it's new buyers to Etsy or buyers who have shopped our competitors but not us, buyers who were just trying to re-engage. We can basically target specific segments with increased cashback or bonuses where we're basically able to incentivize them to come back to Etsy and make a purchase. A recent example of this is a new buyer campaign that we ran with Ebates. So we targeted buyers who hadn't shopped Etsy before with an increased commission, and we saw a really nice lift off of this in terms of both sales and new buyers, which was really great.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so cool to see that we're able to get so strategic with the way that we market to potential buyers.
Yeah.
So you also collaborate with affiliates on giveaways. How do those work?
So we typically try to run one giveaway each quarter, and we do that globally across all of our programs. And so we'll generally ask affiliates to submit an Etsy dedicated post, which means that they're only promoting Etsy within their post. And then we'll generally give them criteria such as, you know, please use at least 8 product links or link to this specific page on Etsy. So whether that's our homepage or a editor's pick page, or most recently we actually did this with our Mother's Day hub. And it's really great. We generally give them a time frame to create and publish their post, and then they can submit it to us for a chance to win either a gift card or a bonus to their affiliate commission.
And it's an Etsy gift card, right?
It is an Etsy gift card, yes. So we actually often run these in conjunction with events such as holiday or Halloween, and we see not only really strong engagement, but inspiring content as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that it's an Etsy gift card because it's a really cool way to continue to draw people to Etsy and get them to buy from Etsy sellers. Speaking of Etsy sellers, I know that there are some sellers who are also affiliates and you work with them as well. What does that partnership look like?
It's very similar to what we've spoken about already, but if sellers have a blog or a website where they're interested in promoting Etsy, we just ask that they apply to our program via our affiliate network, AWIN, and then they just have to declare their shop name. So like any other publisher, we still will review their application to ensure that their site adheres to our terms and conditions. And if a seller is approved, they'll be able to add affiliate links to their site, and they even can link to their own shop if they'd like. They will just earn 0% commission on any sale that they refer to their own shop, but they still will earn commission on sales that are referred to other sellers. So we do still encourage them to link.
Right. So a seller affiliate might be a blogger, and then if they post a DIY and then mention that they got some of the supplies from an Etsy shop, they'd receive a commission for linking to that shop, right?
Exactly.
And for sellers who are interested in becoming an affiliate, we'll have info on how to apply to become one in the description for this episode. Thank you so much for being here today, Christine and Corinne.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this bonus episode of the Etsy Success Podcast. And for those of you participating in a sales event, keep in mind some of the key takeaways from Lish and Christy. Buyers are still searching for specific items during sales events, so consider optimizing your keywords beforehand. With some of the results we've seen around the length of our sales events, you might try running your sale for only a few days. When choosing which items to promote, think about which ones are seasonally relevant. We've learned that buyers tend to engage with more straightforward sales, so consider running a sale with no conditions, like a simple 30% off. And you can fill out your About section and shop policies to help build buyer trust with those new to Etsy shoppers coming to the site during a sale. We'll have links to any articles mentioned in this episode in the description. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time.